Yasodhanandana Prajjanarandana Yasodhanandana Prajjanarandana Yamunatiravanachadi Yamunatiravanachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi jana balabha girivara dhari Nijanya balabha girivara dhari Gopi jana balabha girivara dhari Yasodhanandana Brajjanarandana Yasodhanandana Brajjanarandana Yamunatiravanachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Madhava Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivirakacharya Sri Mata's Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 45, Canto 10, Chapter 3. Yovam ma putra bhavena Brahma bhavena cha sakrit chintayantau krita snehau yasyete madgatim param yuvamam putra bhavena Brahma bhavena cha sakrit chintayantau krita snehau yasyete madgatim param
yuvamam putra bhavena
Yuvama putra bhavena Brahma bhavena chasakrit Yuvama putra bhavena Brahma bhavena chasakrit Chintayantau krita snehau Ladies? Yasyete madgatim param Yuvamam putra bhavena Yuvama putra bhavena Brahma bhavena chasakrit Chintayantau krita snehau Yasyete madgatim param Yuvam Both of you, husband and wife Mam unto me putra bhavena as your son Brahma bhavena knowing that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead cha and asakrit constantly Chintayantau, thinking like that. Krita snehau, dealing with love and affection. Yas ye te, shall both obtain. Mat gatim, my supreme abode. Param, which is transcendental, beyond this material world. Translation, both of you, husband and wife, constantly think of me as your son, but always know that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, thinking of me constantly with love and affection, you will achieve the highest perfection, colon, returning home back to Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This instruction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his father and mother, who are eternally connected with him, is especially intended for persons eager to return home back to Godhead. One should never think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an ordinary human being, as non-devotees do. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, personally appeared and left his instructions for the benefit of all human society. But fools and rascals unfortunately think of him as an ordinary human being and twist the instructions of Bhagavad Gita for the satisfaction of their senses. Practically everyone commenting on Bhagavad Gita interprets it for sense gratification. It has become especially fashionable for modern scholars and politicians to interpret Bhagavad Gita as if it was something fictitious and by their wrong interpretations, they are spoiling their own careers and the careers of others. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is fighting against this principle of regarding Krishna as a fictitious person and of accepting that there was no battle of Kurukshetra, that everything is symbolic, and that nothing in Bhagavad Gita is true. In any case, if one truly wants to be successful, one can do so by reading the text of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially stressed the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, Yare Deka Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. If one wants to achieve the highest success of life, one must accept Bhagavad Gita as spoken by the Supreme Lord. By accepting Bhagavad Gita in this way, all of human society can become perfect and happy. Paragraph. It is to be noted that because Vasudeva and Devaki would be separated from Krishna when he was carried to Gokula, the residence of Nanda Maharaj, the Lord personally instructed them that they should always think of him as their son and as the Supreme Personality Godhead that would keep them in touch with him. After 11 years, the Lord returned to Mathura to be their son, and therefore there was no question of separation. For those who are joining us and not familiar with the context of this, this is the last of Vasudev Krishna's response to his mother and father, Vasudev Devaki, in the prison house of Kamsa, because he has appeared, as was foretold, as the eighth child of Devaki. Vasudev offered his prayers, Devaki offered her prayers. Now the Lord is responding, and this is the last. And next comes, he becomes silent. By his yogamaya potency, he transforms himself from this four-armed Vasudev Krishna to a little baby, two-armed baby, having instructed them to carry him to the other side of the Jamuna River, to the side of Yashoda, to be raised from infancy as the child of Nanda and Yashoda. We discussed yesterday and previously this section of the Bhagavatam is very important. It's one of many very important sections, just like the Bhagavad Gita verse, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chaktva deham punar janma naiti. By understanding the transcendental nature of Krishna's janma, this is his janma, and his activities, that's very special. And it's so special that one will go back to Godhead. No more birth. No more birth and death. Finished. Transcendence. Entering into Vishate Tadanantaram. One will go to Krishna's abode. And we discussed that this section is particularly important, along with a few other sections, particularly important to understand the nature of the original form of the Personality of Godhead is Krishna. We discussed this yesterday. You probably discussed it the day before yesterday, the Krishna Sandarbha teaching, that of all the forms or expansions of Bhagavan, one is the source of them all, This is key verse of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam from Canto 1, Chapter 3. And here is this expanding. He is that original source. It's being detailed in slow motion through this conversation. So, Vasudeva and Devaki, they're eternal associates. That's what's identified here in the verse. Asakrit. Asakrit. I'm going to... there was some discussion yesterday about Vasudeva, Devaki, and beyond this particular Vasudeva, Devaki, they are eternal associates, and where, you know, what happens? And, you know, each time Krishna appears, are they there? What? How does it work? I'm going to read commentary by Krishna's mercy. Have a translation of the commentary of our acharyas. First, because that question is very clearly addressed. It's in the verse. But the commentary that Prabhupada gives is for his particular audience. And his particular audience is the world, the modern world. And Srila Prabhupada wants the modern world to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and appearance. I mean, birth and activities. Because, as he's commenting in the purport, abundantly the wrong understanding is being propagated. He doesn't name names. In purports, he's careful to not do that. But in conversation, he discloses names. Dr. Radhakrishna, politician, commenting on Bhagavad Gita. Gandhi, politician, commenting on Bhagavad Gita. I don't mind, because this is just a class, without details of things. Gandhi, the lover of Bhagavad Gita, right? He carried Bhagavad Gita with him everywhere and referred to Bhagavad Gita. In his writings about Bhagavad Gita, and specifically even in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, he says the things that Prabhupada says people, commentators are spoiling their lives and spoiling the lives of others. He specifically says, there was no battle of Kurukshetra. If I, to be a Hindu, have to accept there was a Kurukshetra battle and that Krishna was inducing Arjuna to fight, I give up my Hinduism. Rather, the Kurukshetra battle is this and Krishna is that and Arjuna is another thing and yada, yada, yada. And other explicit statements. Bhakti Vikas Maharaj had some of his scholarly devotees research his writings, and there's a whole bunch of them where he is very explicit. The unborn, unmanifest within. That's Krishna, Brahman, impersonal Brahman. Not that Prabhupada didn't know that. He knows it. Yet Prabhupada was encouraging Gandhi to teach Bhagavad Gita. And here he's, you know, cautioning against Bhagavad Gita as it isn't. And some people say, to give the title of his translation, Bhagavad Gita as it is, that's pretentious. Meaning, like, he's got the answer, and no one else has the answer. What he means by as it is right in the purport. Just take it the direct statement as opposed to the interpretation method. This means that. This means this. Surrender unto me means surrender unto me. Always remember me, always think of me, means always think of Krishna. It's direct meaning. It's a Sanskrit rule. It's the hermeneutics of Sanskrit. You take the direct meaning. Unless it's just inappropriate. And if it's inappropriate, then you can take a secondary meaning. This means that. But you take the direct meaning. That's the rule in Sanskrit. That's what he means by Bhagavad Gita as it is, without interpretation. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. So he's, Prabhupada is taking the opportunity appropriately for his, the mandate that he has accepted, which is to deliver the Western countries and the whole world from impersonalism and voidism, which is the consequence of not accepting literal. You go to the interpretation. This means that. Cheating. Cheating. It's cheating. Krishna really doesn't know how to say what he means. When he says this, he's just kind of a little slow and a little dull. But when he says this, he means that. Rascaldom. If he doesn't know how to, then don't refer to him. He's not an authority. He doesn't know how to say what he means. But you refer to him and say, this means that. Rascaldom. Strong. Rascaldom. So, anyway, he's not using rascaldom here in the purport, but he's saying they're spoiling their careers and the careers of others. They're misleading. The world has many misleaders. They're blind. They don't know. And although they don't know, they're claiming as if they know. And giving their commentary. They don't know. And then people go, wow. Prime Minister giving a commentary. Gandhi giving a commentary. Lover of Bhagavad Gita. Let's go read it. The Krishna consciousness movement is fighting against this principle of regarding Krishna as a fictitious person and of accepting there was no battle of Kurukshetra, that everything is symbolic, and that nothing in Bhagavad Gita is true. It's abundant, and so he's declaring war. It's a battle. And some persons didn't like Swamiji. Sadhus are supposed to be non-confrontational and shanti and yatamatatopat. So many paths, so many ways. I'm okay, you're okay. And you're saying they're not okay. Swamiji, shanti. So that's the major part of the first paragraph of Prabhupada's purport. The second is some insight into how Krishna is speaking to Vasudeva and Devaki. He's letting them know, because he already let them know, please carry me to the other side of the river Jamuna. He's letting them know that we're going to be separated, but you can always be with me. By always thinking of me, and by always thinking of me, you'll be with me, and you'll achieve perfection, returning home back to Godhead. Now, Krishna knows they're eternal associates. They don't need sadhana bhakti. They don't need to practice anything. They're perfect. But they have this, so now we'll go to the Sanskrit of the verse, Putra Bhavina and Brahma Bhavina. We've been saying this, and here it is right in the verse, spoken by Krishna. They have the two simultaneous bhavas. Bhava, a mood of love. It exactly is dealings with love and affection. They have an affection towards Krishna, who's appearing as his Vasudev form, as their son. And side by side, they have this bhava of seeing the Supreme Lord as Brahman, in this case, the personality of Godhead. Supreme Brahman, Parabrahman, but, you know, absolute. So, and those are, we've been discussing, they're conflicting emotions. And they're both within Vasudeva and Devaki. Yuvam, both of you, husband and wife, mam, unto me, putra bhavena, brahma bhavena, cha sakrit, cha sakrit, sakrit, asakrit, constantly. Now, I'm going to start reading from the commentary, and you'll hear it twice, apparently, because I don't have the text that our acharyas are commenting from, but the second line, cha sakrit, apparently the version of our commentators have used is vasakrit. You'll hear it. So cha means and va means either, like a choice between, or, you know, this or that. In contrast, there's the word that they use, in contrast. So these are contrasting features. They're contrasting features. See him as their son, see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, because the discussion came up yesterday, my response was, we have to see what the acharyas say. Here's what the acharyas say. There's three. Vishwanath, Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami. Again, this is an important section of the Bhagavatam, so it's rich with explanation. Vishwanath, in the scriptures indicating worship of Krishna through mantras. Then we have the Hare Krishna mantra. And there's Gayatri mantras. Gayatri mantras, for example, in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Gopakumar receives mantra. It's a Gayatri mantra. He identifies it as the Madan Gopal mantra. And technically, or scripturally, the worship of the deity is through mantra. Say it in verse. One cannot approach deity except through mantra. And so only Brahminically initiated devotees should be worshipping the deity because they're worshipping through mantra. And the purpose, particularly this is Bhanu Swami speaking like over and over again till everyone thinks, yeah, it's got to be true because he says it over and over again, that the only reason in ISKCON, the only reason for Brahminical initiation is for worshipping the deity. Or if you receive Brahminical initiation, you should be worshipping the deity. Say it the other way. If you're not intending to worship the deity, no need for Brahminical initiation. So it's not just like, you know, a management issue. Okay, we need more Brahmins. So if you want Brahminical initiation, you got to worship the deity. It's the purpose of Brahminical initiation. And the Brahminical initiation and the worship of the deity following Brahminical initiation is one of the five essential items that bring, have the potential, the potency to bring spontaneous love. That's the gift through Brahminical initiation and the deity worship following it. So the deity is worshipped, the form of Krishna is worshipped through mantra. We're going to hear some more about this during the festival of the holy name. In the scriptures indicating worship of Krishna through mantras, Vasudeva, that's the father, is mentioned as the father of Krishna. Therefore, this shows without doubt that Vasudeva is eternally in that position. It's in the verse 2. But in order to increase their bliss by promising perfection of their sadhana in this birth, their nityasiddha status is hidden. Nityasiddha means they're eternally perfect beings. They don't need sadhana to become sadhana siddha. They're eternally perfect. But he's speaking of to them as if they're not. Although hidden is, they are. Quote, by thinking of me, you will attain me. This is Vishwanath. Paragraph. The actual meaning of the verse is, quote, I will now go to my most excellent eternal Dham Gokula. After 11 years, I will return to Mathura, and you will attain me there at that time. But now I will be separated from you. Now, often we hear that Krishna was away from Mathura for 12 years. Here it's being said 11, and Prabhupada in his purport says 11. Next, Jiva Goswami. Now, we mentioned yesterday, and from the previous purport, Krishna Sandarbha, it's big. This description is big. It's very important. So he makes many references from many places to support his statements. This is his methodology. He makes statements. And then he presents scripture that support his statement. You can do it the other way around, make the scripture statement and then deduce something. But he makes statements, and then so that's his method. So here we go. The word va, apparently that's in this third line, Brahma Bhavina va, in our version, in the Bhagavatam, it's cha. So here's what he writes. The word va, parentheses instead of cha, can mean a comparison or an alternative. You developed affection for me as Bhagavan in my sarup. Or, that's this va, in contrast or comparison, as the chief entity Brahman, this personality of Godhead, because I am the greatest and you continuously meditated upon me. The two moods are seen as equal just to glorify Brahman. Got it? Putra Bhavena, Brahma Bhavena, as your son, I'm the personality of Godhead. I'm the greatest, not just your son. Because he said that in yesterday's verse. They would go to Vaikuntha, along with Kashyapa and Aditi, who had similar qualification. Sridhar Swami comments as follows, quote, if you were pleased with them, Kashyapa and Aditi, why should they take another birth? This verse answers that they will not take birth in the future. Charyanishtha, you're paying attention, right? Because this is responding to your question. Next paragraph. Or, it can be explained that the two, Devaki and Vasudev, should not be considered as sadhakas, and that there should not be any worry about not attaining the Lord. In the Padma Purana, Kartik Mahatmya, it is said, O Parvati, all the Yadus are my eternal relatives. And they're in that same category. They're from the Yadu dynasty. Eternal relatives. Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda says, and he quotes, Lord Rama's brothers, or Balaram, the Yadavas, appear with the Lord from the Lord's planet by his will, and again go to his eternal abode with him. They are not bound by karma, and do not take birth. Paragraph. Interesting. See what our acharyas are doing. That's the approach. The audience is different. Prabhupada's audience is everybody, modern, everybody. Don't see Krishna as ordinary. It's not fiction. He's the supreme person. Okay, so Jiva. Such statements are also found in books concerning Krishna's worship, celebration of his birth, and his mantra. Their appearance now in their original forms, that's Vasudeva and Devaki, and in their expansions in previous births, Kashyapa and Aditi are their expansions, according to Jiva, is only a pastime to preach the worship of the Lord with intense prema, and by showing their prema, which was intense, as that of the Lord. In being born as Prishni or Aditi, Devaki, previously. Their attainment of the Lord is not a matter of special sadhana. Rather, Devaki attained the Lord as previously by her very nature. That is expressed in this verse. You mentioned to me with a special parental love, you meditated upon me with a special parental love, that's as Putra Bhavina, and with expectation that I would especially appear, Bhavina, or, that's this Va, with ordinary love and with expectation of an ordinary appearance, Brahma Bhavina. The word Va indicates an alternative. Jiva is saying the same as Vishwanath. The comparison is made in the following verses. So he's made a declaration, and now he's giving some really interesting, very ecstatic scriptural references from the 10th canto. 10th canto, chapter 8. So we're in chapter 3. Krishna's in the prison house of Kamsa. Chapter 8, canto 10. Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes. Again, chapter 20, 45, canto 10. Understanding that his parents were becoming aware of his power as God, this is now, he's come back to Mathura, and he's standing before them. He's liberated them from the prison, and they're staring at him. Emphasis on the Brahma Bhavina. He is the personality of Godhead. Understanding that his parents were becoming aware of his powers as God, he thought that this should not be allowed to happen. Thus, he expanded his yoga maya, which bewilders his devotees. Then it became Putra Bhavina. Va. chapter 14. This is Brahma's Prayers, Canto 10. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd man, and all the other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal Brahman, has become their friend. Again, this is scriptural references about Var. This elaborating on the Putra Bhavina, Brahma Bhavina, Var. Chapter 12. This is the stealing of the calves and the cowherd boys. In this way, all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence for Gyanis, desiring to merge into that effulgence with the Supreme Lord for the devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who for ordinary persons is but another ordinary child. The cowherd boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities from many lives, were able to associate in this way with the Lord. How can one explain their great fortune? Note, this is the verse where Prabhupada would hundreds of times refer to Krita Punya Punja. Krita Punya Punja. How many pious activities have these cowherd boys done? And that pious activities is not the material kind of helping little old ladies across the street or digging wells or planting trees by the side of the road or any of those classical kind of material piety. It's the transcendental kind. Who knows how much transcendental piety, because it's moving from Brahma Bhavena to Sakya Bhavena. Seeing Krishna as their son, says now he's done with the scriptural references and he's going back making declarations. Seeing Krishna as their son comes first as the main method, and thinking of him as great as a secondary method. They meditated only once on the Lord as great. The word va can indicate that it may have been possible that they meditated once on Brahman, meaning Parabrahman. Paragraph. Later, you will go from the pastimes on earth to my abode. That's the declaration. You're going to attain me because of your absorption and your thought of me. It's right in the verse. Later you will go from the pastimes on earth to my abode with the aprakat pastimes. Aprakat means unmanifest. So Krishna's pastimes are finished. They enter into the unmanifest, and they will enter into the unmanifest and go to his eternal abode, not to take birth again. Your question yesterday. You do not have to depend on sadhana. Doing sadhana would interfere with what is to be accomplished by you as my assistants. The reason is given. You have eternally perfect affection. Krita snehau, that's in the third line. Eternally perfect affection. You too have prema, filled with affection for me as a son. It is your nature in the manner of Atma Pahata Pap Ma, colon, the soul is without sin in the liberated state, Chandogya Upanishad. You meditated upon me as your son with affection, and maybe once meditated on Brahman. This Ba, that's our Acharya is making that distinction. Finally, I hope you find this interesting. This is Sanatana Goswami, and he makes reference to Brihat Bhagavatamrita in his commentary. Sanatana Goswami is the author and commentator of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. He's referring to this verse in his 10th canto commentary. Here we go.
You think of me as your son who is Brahman. They are expressed as equivalents to point out the greatness of the object of affection. You think of me constantly. This indicates their bhava. The word va, parentheses, instead of cha, indicates a comparison. Third time. You think of me constantly as a son, just as others think of Brahman. The word va can also indicate the inferiority of Brahman. Paragraph. Being affectionate, you too will attain my most attractive param, place of attainment, gatim, so it's madgatim param. You're going back to Godhead, comma, Vaikuntha. They're Vaikunthavasis. You will attain the goal from me. This indicates they will attain it easily by his mercy. You think of me as a son constantly, since it is full of affectionate rasa. You thought of me as Brahman only once. Va sakrit. Since it is without rasa. Why? It is because by your affection for me, it is impossible for you to have any obstacles in attaining me. He praises them to pacify them and glorify them, since they suffered in previous births, they or their expansions. Paragraph. Though Aditi and Kashyapa will attain the highest goal after being qualified, they attained it as your expansions. So there's this question, you know, multiple, how does it work? They're expansions of Vasudeva Devaki, according to Sanatana Goswami. Now you will attain the goal without another birth. Vasudeva and Devaki are eternal associates in Vaikuntha, whereas Aditi and Kashyapa are expansions. So some of the puzzle pieces are now being revealed. This is his statement. Now here's some scriptural reference. From this chapter, chapter 3 of Canto 10, the Supreme Lord replied, "My dear mother, best of the chaste, in your previous birth, in the Swayambhuva millennium, you were known as Prishni, and Vasudev, who was the most pious Prajapati, was named Sutapa." So this is Dwarpa Yuga, and he's referring to not just a previous Yuga, but a previous Manu. Yes? Previous Manu. So where they were in between, you know, Swayambhuva Manu and the other six Manus, to now Vaivasvata Manu, there's no indication. So don't ask me. Final. You too will attain my abode now. Kashyapa and Aditi, after being qualified, will attain it. This is understood according to Bhagavatamrita. You will attain me as the goal, Madgatim, by thinking of me as your son. End. Now I have a question that I'm not expecting an answer to, but how does it work in Vaikuntha to see the personality of Godhead as one's son? As they say, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. And that's a worldly statement about people that see things of this world happen in mysterious ways. what to speak of transcendental things, like what's going to happen tomorrow, or the next verse is, because it won't be tomorrow, we're doing something else tomorrow, Monday. He withdraws that form and shows a child form. No problem. This is Yogamaya potency that according to his will, and his will is for his happiness and reciprocating with the love of his devotees, like Vasudeva and Devaki, Nanda and Yasoda. He doesn't show them this forearm form. He shows his little child Krishna form. And that's his eternal form. And from that eternal form is everything. And then it appears that he grows. See? He is one of us. It's not one of us. Now, when one hears those things, he's one of us. If one is a materialist, using these explanations of our acharyas, how do you get a proper conception? Srimad Bhagavatam gives it, and our acharyas help us unpack it so we can have the proper conception. And it's the same as the Mahamantra. The Mahamantra is Krishna himself. Abhinatvam nama namino. And it's not that there's the name and then the name reveals the form. The name and the form are not different. There's the form of the holy name. We'll hear some more about this tomorrow morning. Gee, who's ever thought of a form as sound? We think of form as, this. Or you can have an abstraction, maybe that's it. Like, before there was a chair, there was the idea chair. So it's an abstraction. No, it's the same. The syllables, Krishna. That's the form of Krishna. We'll hear some more tomorrow. And the Bhagavatam, we'll hear some more tomorrow too about this. It's a literary form of Krishna. It was not just a figure of speech. This means that. It's the form of Krishna, the sound vibration of Krishna in literary form. And the name form, the literary form, the deity form, the abode of Krishna, the pastime, it's all of this absolute nature. How are we going to enter into an understanding of that? Because we're considering through our cruddy mind, crippled, limited mind. That's how we think of things and analyze things. We have to get out of that box and hear in a different way. Hear the name and hear the pastimes. The assistance of our acharyas is there in full to help us crippled-minded persons. That's necessary in order to progress in Krishna consciousness. That association, that descending mercy. It's abundantly available. We're just, relying on the tools that we've been conditioned by, not just this lifetime, but who knows how many lifetimes, to try to understand things. We want spiritual progress. We're using material tools. We don't progress so quickly. There's benefit. Cheto, darpanam, marginum. There's going to need lots of marginum of the cheta to get to the point where we can hear and hear in nama rupa and guna and lila and enter into the pastimes just through sound. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Any discussion? Go ahead.
Two different bhavas, you know, you're trying to...
Within the same person.
Person. This is slightly different. That point kind of got me into thinking. You also mentioned how Devaki didn't enjoy the childhood pastimes of Krishna. Mm. But Mother Yashoda did. So I was thinking, Devaki had this desire to have the Supreme Lord as her son.
Yes.
But at the same time, there was this separation where she couldn't enjoy the relationship with her child.
Apparent.
Seems like, and I've heard this, read this, but somehow it's still maybe I'm still trying to understand with my material mind. What I'm not able to understand, how this mood of separation, which is considered the highest level of bhakti, where there is mood of separation, but there is also a lot of pain because of the separation from, you know, either the Lord or the spiritual master. Because yesterday night also we were reading about Narottam Das Thakur feeling this deep pain of separation from Loknath Goswami,
etc.
So how this pain and this desire to serve, like, seems like two contradictory feeling, and
it seems contradictory, no doubt about it. It's a mystery to the material mind, because it's either or, it's binary, that's the mind. And the transcendental is the mood, the bhava of vipralamba or separation intensifies the love for the object of love. And in that mood of feelings of separation, there's meeting. It's different transcendentally. It's so, but the material is different. You know, there's this worldly thing, separation makes the heart grow fonder, but that's just a reflection of the transcendental. And then the transcendental is transcendental. It's an intensification of love. It's a type of love, and that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings of Radha for Krishna. Oh, where is Krishna? Where is he gone? I saw him in Kanai Natchashala, and I ran, and then he just disappeared. Where is he gone? Where is Krishna? Pouring out his heart to his associates and going mad. As he couldn't even finish speaking. It's an ecstatic feeling that intensifies love. Transcendental love for the object. And in the stage of moving from sadhana bhakti to bhava bhakti, it's an important transcendental component is having a strong desire. Greedy, that's the word of Rupa Goswami. Lolyam. Greed in the material sense is bad. In the spiritual sense is good. And that it can grow. It can start with, you know, a remote hankering. It, you know, let's just take, you know, down to our little pedestrian level of, I'd like to be able to chant attentively. Now, how is that attentiveness or the this we're going to be hearing this weekend from our acharyas. This tendency for distraction is not something we can conquer ourselves. But the name, when we're hankering and intensifying that hankering, then the distraction can dissipate and the attraction and attentiveness. It's, you know, that's the purification. Like that example, you'll see an image, the pot that's far from the flame. Move the flame and the pot closer, it's going to... Attentiveness will follow the eagerness for attentiveness, and not otherwise. And so now take it to the transcendental level, Vasudeva and Devaki. He's helping them to feel more absorbed in their love for him. He's not teasing them. Here I am, there I go. It's intensification, and it's part of love. Brihad Bhagavatamrita discusses, you know, Krishna's leaving Vrindavan. It's a mystery. How can he leave Vrindavan? Why doesn't he go back? It's a mystery. The mystery of love. The Lord moves in mysterious ways. Okay. Someone else? Right in front of you?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Right into the mic.
Devaki and Vasudeva had Prichni and Sutapa and Kashyapa and Aditi. So did Yashoda and Nanda also have any previous births? And my second question is, you said that Devaki and Vasudeva were eternally perfected beings.
Well, so, I didn't say.
So how does one become eternally perfect?
You don't become eternally perfect. You are or you are not. So the second part of your question, there are three categories of siddha, Prabhupada's teaching. Nitya siddha, sadhana siddha, kripa siddha. So one can become siddha by sadhana, or one can become perfect by kripa, like Putana. She didn't do sadhana. She's not nitya siddha. But she became perfect by mercy. Now, you know, your other question, have Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj taken other births? My understanding is, you know, quite limited, but my understanding is they are eternal associates. And as eternal associates, when Krishna appears in Vrindavan, which is once in a day of Brahma, because the other 999 yuga cycles, his Vrindavan pastimes don't take place. But when Krishna appears in Vrindavan, they're there. Because everything is there. Everything is there. Everything. The Govardhan Hill and River Jamuna and Cowherd Boys and eternal associates are there. So they're there. That's my understanding. So then there's Aprakat. And they're there in the Aprakat Leela because they're eternal associates. Then there's Prakat Leela and they're there. And there may be variations on the theme of how and what and how, you know, details. But they're eternal associates. So when Krishna's pastimes are made manifest, they prakat, they're there. As they are eternally in the aprakat manifestation. We ought to reach your hand out. Thanks.
Maharaj, I may be wrong, but this sentence is confusing me. where Prabhupada said in the last paragraph that he was, okay, where is that? The Lord personally instructed them that they should always think of him as their son and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why did he use our word and? And again, that word and, because if you think of and, that means how it will take place simultaneously. If he, Krishna, if you think Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how your vatsalya prema, that means love of filial love will take place.
I'm not sure what your question is, but I don't see a problem. I don't see a problem. The and is just like a very, very nice example. You know, it's referred to in Jiva Goswami's commentary. When Krishna came before them after returning, killing Kamsa and freeing them from the prison of Kamsa, they looked upon him as the personality of Godhead. Krishna, from his side, said, this is not okay. Then with his yogamaya potency, he covered them. So it's an and. They have these two features, and one may be more prominent, and then by yogamaya potency, another may be more prominent, but both are there. And which one depends upon Krishna's potencies? By his yogamaya potency, stronger is the position of son as opposed to the supreme. So that's how the and, because he's the supreme, and the supreme has potencies, and according to the potencies of the supreme, one may see him according to his desire as well as according to their natural affection. So it's and. Does that answer your question? You think so. You're not sure, but you'll think about it. Okay. Anyone else? Yes?
Questions about the descending mercy you were speaking about. The name is the form of Krishna is identical or within the name.
It's easier to say, it's another thing to realize.
Right. My meditation and my chanting is more so recently I've been realizing that it's not so much about, and you said this too, using my material instruments.
Very good.
So it's not about my mental effort to focus on the name.
In fact, there are obstacles.
So it's more about accepting the name than like a mental exercise.
Yes.
That's a correct understanding. That's a correct understanding?
Yes. Accepting, receiving, hearing. They're different terms, but it's descending. It's not ascending. We don't have to. It's an obstacle to perceive through the mind, the material mind. We have to use it. And we have to use it in the receiving, accepting. We'll hear tomorrow from our scriptures. The mind, the ear conquers the mind, the material mind. And not otherwise. Otherwise, the mind's going to rule and takes us for a ride. Mano Ratena. Endless. The ride doesn't end. Like a bad dream that doesn't end. You don't wake up. You just dream forever. Life is but a dream. Row, row, row your boat. It's just endless. The breaking of that endless ride, accepting, receiving, hearing, that's our process. we'll elaborate tomorrow rather than just this morning. Over here.
Hare Krishna. In the Acharya's commentary, I was just wondering, perhaps Vaikuntha could refer to Goloka as well.
It could, yes, but it's specific. Because there's in the commentary is his eternal abode, Gokula, and the other is Vaikuntha. Yes, it's certainly possible. Vaikuntha could be referring to Goloka.
I had a thought that in terms of expansions of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, perhaps Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata might be considered not expansions but a different feature of
Sure. Just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself. Yes, one last question, and then we're gonna end.
Vasudev and Devaki were meditating on the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
I don't know what they were meditating on.
In the previous verses, there's the discussion you brought up in the class that persons with a more impersonal view will, and you were referring to Gandhi, talking about the unmanifest form within. And in the previous verses, Devaki in her prayers is talking about the creation of the universes, etc. So, it appears that even with the Lord Vishnu coming in front of them, that had something to do with, I mean, you mentioned you're not sure what they were meditating upon, but I was understanding that there was a lot of focus on Lord Vishnu.
We're missing Acharya Nishtha. Did you catch it all? You were distracted.
I can write it down, Sharam Praswami, for later if you like. I can write it down for later.
Okay. Did you catch it all? We're missing Acharya Nishtha. He somehow has a radar that he can pick up on. I'm sorry. Certainly, which feature they were meditating upon, we'd have to find the scriptural reference to say. Now, if you're saying they did, it's stated somewhere here, they were meditating on the Paramatma feature, then fine. The meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which feature? They rest upon Lord Vishnu, that's fine. So whether it's specifically Paramatma, is there a specific reference that says that? Are you aware? Or that's what your question is? Yeah, I don't know. I would say go back and see. Go back and do the review. And if it doesn't specify, we don't know. And if it doesn't specify, minimally we know Lord Vishnu or one of his expansions. And not just notionally, but, you know, the spiritual form of Lord Vishnu or one of his expansions. That was their meditation and prayer. It's a little bit like, in other words, it's a little bit like in Gajendra Moksha Leela, in his previous life, the elephant Gajendra was a king who offered a prayer And when he remembered that prayer, he doesn't specify which form. So it could have been, for some people, Brahma Vishnu or Lord Shiva. But Lord Vishnu came because he knew. But it doesn't specify in the prayer, so it's more his consciousness meditating on who? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Vishnu came. But maybe it's a unnecessary detail. Meditating on Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu Tattva at least. So, and any one of them, their expansions of Krishna ultimately. So, not so critical. Which was it, Paramatma? Not so critical. We know, for example, for a fact that form that Dhruva was meditating upon, and then the Bhagavatam says that form of Prishnigarbha manifested before him. Anyway, super soul, and then here comes Prishnigarbha riding on the back of Garuda. So there is specific, and unless it's specific, we don't know. But Vishnu Tattva. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.